Thank you for joining us. Today we're talking about right relationship. We're still in 1 Peter. We'll be in 1 Peter for a few more weeks, and then after I'm done with 1 Peter, we'll go right into 2 Peter. I think these little letters are helpful to us. Today we're looking at verses 8 through 12 in chapter 3. There's an old joke that goes around the church that talks about how much better the church would be if it weren't for people. But people are why we're here, right? But does anybody feel that way? No. Yeah, but that's the idea. If it weren't for people, man, church would be great. But God's word and God's purpose is all about people. And the Bible is clear that if we're really living right with God, then our relationship with God impacts our relationships with one another. Now, up to this point, Peter has been encouraging us to adopt a different attitude than the world. He calls us to be respectful. He calls us to be submissive. And in today's passage, Peter broadens his instructions to apply this God-living principle to all our relationships. God wants us to have right relationships in every aspect of our life. And so Peter's going to tell us how to relate to others in a way that pleases the Lord. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 to 12. From the New American Standard, it reads this way: to sum up, or other translations, finally, all of you, how many does that include? Okay, just making sure. All of you be harmonious, or other translations, be of one mind, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, and humble, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you would inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against evildoers. Heavenly Father, we come to your word and always are in awe of how it speaks to our lives. And Lord, as we examine these words today, may we not only hear but pursue what you're calling us to do and how to live in our lives. Lord, so we can have right relationships with all people. And we ask this in Jesus' name today. Amen. The very first trait that Peter deals with, he says we need to live in harmony or harmonious or with one mind. In fact, the Greek word here is hophmophron, meaning to simply think the same. To think the same. Church, God wants us to live in harmony with each other. And guess what? It starts in the house of God. Amen? But that unity should also be seen by everybody we come in contact with. One of the most powerful descriptions of the early church was their unity, their oneness of mind. In Acts 2, we read this, verses 44 to 47. All, do you see that word again? All who? The believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Those early believers were like a family. They sacrifice to meet each other's needs. They serve together. They worship together. And people were drawn, outsiders were drawn to the love they saw evidenced in the lives of these people. Why? Because they were living in harmony. They were unified. And this is what God wants His church to be like. He wants people to be able to look at us and see Him. In fact, Jesus prayed it this way in John 17. He says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for who? All. I want you to hear that. For all who will ever believe in me through their message. Jesus was praying for us on that day. He prayed for the disciples. That what? Listen, that we would be what? Listen to verse 21. I pray that they will all be one. All be one. And he goes on to say, just as you and I, talking to the Father, are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Church, God wants us to live in harmony, in oneness with Him and with others. Now, unless you are tone deaf, is anybody truly tone deaf in here? Or anybody deaf? You're having a real hard time if you're deaf today. But most of you are able to distinguish them, probably the difference between what's called harmony or dissonance or discord. Harmony is when various voices or instruments blend in a way that's more beautiful than what just one voice can do or one instrument could be alone. Discord or dissonance is when those same voices or instruments begin to clash with each other. Harmony would be pleasant to your ear. Discord would make you want to cover your ears. I've never been able to do this, but Pastor James, would you come? Because of his keyboard skills and mine, we have never done a duet together. So let's do a duet together, and I'll just count us off and get us going. So, you ready? Okay, we didn't practice, but I'm sure it'll be fine. Ready? 3, 4. That didn't sound quite. Would you call that harmony or dissonance? Exactly what it was. He was playing his thing. I was playing my thing. Was that unified? All right, here's what I want you to do. How many have your favorite song in your head right now? Ready? You got it? Now, if it's not supposed to be sung in church, don't sing it. And then if it is that kind of song, change it. Okay. Everybody got your song in your head? On the count of three, I want everybody to sing your favorite song. Ready? Come on, just sing it. Don't worry about your neighbor. Just sing it out. Ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Majesty, we worship your majesty. Unto, come on, keep going. Be all glory. Not going well, is it? Let's see if we can do this in unity and in harmony. I want you to sing with me, very simple. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. 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 Let's see, we'll do it without the keyboard. Hallelujah. We worship you, O God. Hallelujah. 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 Church, if we're not careful, we do our own thing. We know our own song. But there's one person, one Savior, one Lord, one Spirit, one body. And when that one comes together and worships the one and acknowledges the one, it brings us into unity and harmony together. When God looks at us, especially this particular body, I want him to see and hear harmony rather than discord. When the world looks at us, they need to see the beautiful harmony and the unity that comes from following Christ rather than the harsh discord of this harsh world, competitive world that's out there. Church, we have to be united in the mind of Christ. And it's the Word of God that helps us get there. It's the very Word today where he says, live in harmony. This Word today, if we really hear it, it can change how we are seen. It can change how we are heard if we'll respond to it in the right way. By the way, the early church did have problems. In Acts 6, there was this debate over caring for the widows. You're not doing it well enough. Later, Peter and Paul disagree on how saved the Gentiles really were, because they're not doing this and they should be doing this. And Acts 15, church all of a sudden gathered together for what they called the first church council, and they worked through their thoughts according to the Word of God and came to a conclusion. And over the century, there have been several of those councils to address disagreements. I want you to know people will disagree, but that does not mean we have to be divided or live in disagreement. I know we have different passions. I know we have different interests and different experiences. But with those differences, we have to recognize that different doesn't always mean better than or worse than. It just means different, and that's okay. But now we're working to be in harmony and oneness. And one of the black marks that's been against the church over the years has been the division that's been among us. We've been divided over worship, divided over denominational labels, the frequency of how often we do communion, the roles of leadership, even divided over the versions of the Bible. Church, I'm just glad when a believer, or especially a lost person, reads a Bible. Just getting into God's Word, let God speak to them. God's the one who came to save them and speak to them. Church, we have to know what's really important. And Peter calls us to work and to pursue at this harmony within the body of Christ. And we're to do that for the kingdom's sake. Amen? So live in harmony. Everybody say, live in harmony. Paul says, the apostle puts it this way in Romans 12, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. That's good advice for anybody. Amen? Next, Peter says, live sympathetic and compassionate. I'm combining the two words because they actually, I believe, complement each other. In the Greek, the word, and you can see sympathy in that, but it's sympathēs, means suffering or feeling like another. My daughter goes, yep, that was correct, because she's had Greek. Basically, it means that we got to get close enough to each other that we feel what is going on in the life of another. But we have to do more than just feel. That's why the counterpart to sympathy is this being compassionate. Compassion means to let our sympathy for another spur us on to action. In Romans 12, in fact, it's the verse just prior to the verse 16 I read, verse 15, before we live in harmony, it said, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. The scripture says, we're not only to be moved on the inside by our feelings, but moved to action to really feel with the other person. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 gives us that picture of the body of Christ, that it's like a body. In fact, he says in verses 25 and 26, he said, this makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. I don't know about you, I've hit my thumb with a hammer before. And I mean, my whole body gets involved. It cut my brain, everything begins to feel. Church, we have got to feel or rejoice, whichever it is, with each other. And it's not only when we hurt for someone or we're glad, but that we're moved to action. It's not just the feeling, and then we show we care. How do we become more sympathetic or compassionate? Well, take time to listen. Listen not only with your ears, but with your eyes. Sometimes a person is saying, oh, I'm fine with their words, but you can see their face is telling a different story. Look for those signs. Moist eyes, wrinkled brow, tired, worried. Come on, just care. Be a part of the family of God. Have sympathy and show compassion. It's not that we always have to do something. I think that's where everybody's afraid. Well, I'm going to have to do more. Sometimes it's just that you notice that something is going on and show your concern and your care. So live in harmony, live sympathetic and compassionate. And then Peter says, live in love. Peter says you're to love like a family member loves. Now, obviously, God is love, and we need to love like God loves. And, of course, Jesus, of course, teaches us the greatest commandment is to love God. But like that commandment is to what? Love your neighbor. John the disciple writes this in 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us continue, because why? He was part of that early church. He knows what the early church is supposed to be living like. So let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Consistently, the Bible refers to this Christian community in terms that reflect a family kind of relationship and love. This is how God wants us to relate to each other, to love each other. When we gather for worship, it's like the most top-notch family reunion you could ever be at. Like, look at there, there's, yeah, we'll, oh, Lord, and we worship together. Glad to see each other. When visitors come for the first time into this place, I think one of the things they can sense is whether the atmosphere is loving and caring. That's why each day, each moment, every week, we have to continue to work at showing and revealing the love that God has placed in us. Again, I wish we could get so filled up, I've used this illustration before, so saturated like a sponge that when any pressure comes our way or touches our life, it just splashes out of us because we're so filled with love. In fact, I'm gonna actually illustrate it this morning. I'm gonna ask my son, would you join me at a son? This was our last kid, number six, when we added a son. Now we're family. That's why I'm inviting you. He's like, do I need to put my mask on? This morning, let me illustrate it here. So I have a dry sponge, right? Okay, so I want to saturate that sponge. I have nothing more than just simple water. So saturate the sponge. I want you to notice something. That's good. Now, you think that's saturated?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I want you to push it down. And you won't be able to see this, but I want you to now push, and you tell me what comes out of that sponge.
Bubbles.
Bubbles came out of the sponge still. So was it saturated? Okay. You think it's saturated now? Okay, push it again.
Okay, there's more bubbles.
More bubbles. Keep going. Because every time it floats, it's not fully saturated. Keep going. You're going. I know it's like.
It's like a workout.
And the problem is, if we don't continue to push ourselves into the Lord, we're not going to get all that junk out of us. You got to keep pushing in. Say, God, here I am. Lord, I need you more. Lord, I want you more. Lord, I need, you know. All right. So you think it's fairly saturated. So here's what I want you to do. So we think it's pretty saturated. So I want you to pull it out of the water. But here's what I want. Don't let any, because the water represents the love of God. So don't let any love come out of the sponge. Don't. No. No. You're. Church. If we're so full, it can't help but happen. Let me show you something else. Saturate it one more time. Pull it up. Just hold it up like that. That's good. And I just want you to know that any pressure that's put on us, do you see what comes out? Church, when pressure hits us, it should be nothing more than the love of God that pours out of us. You go, well, I don't like that, what's happening in my life. But you know what? The love of God is there. And it's going to take care of us. But so many times we're not saturated. Not saturated. Thank you. You can just leave it in the bowl and here, dry your hands. Thank you. Thank you, son. Church, if we could be like that sponge and allow ourselves to get saturated, that wherever we go, it just can't help but flow out. The thing is, you can't let yourself dry out. And through the years, some have just said, I had the love of God, and it poured out so much, but you didn't stay in the love of God to let it continue to saturate you. I mean, I could stay on this illustration for a long time to let it really sink into you. So anyway, live in love. Live in love. Amen. Everybody just say that. Live in love. There you go. Live in harmony. Live sympathetic, compassionate, and live in love. The next point Peter makes is live in humility. Paul makes this declaration in Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Church, humility comes from seeing ourselves as we really are. It comes when we compare ourselves to the righteous standard of a holy God rather than the perception we have of others around us. It's in humility now we value others above ourselves because we're compared to God's standard. Humility results from recognizing that we are sinful people who are dependent on God's grace for salvation. Humility recognizes that we all have struggles, that we all make mistakes, that we frequently fail. Humility comes from recognizing that we are completely and utterly dependent on God, and it holds true even on our very best days, which for many of us are few and far between. So therefore, we've got to live this way. Let me tell you, the person who is humble is first of all teachable. Why? Because they recognize they don't know everything. The humble person is also modest in the way they live because humble people don't brag. They know even their best deeds are tainted with impure motives. Humble people are grateful people, and that's because they recognize everything that they have is an undeserved gift from God. Humble people don't live like they live their life feeling deprived. They live their life feeling blessed. Humble people make themselves also available. That's because humble people truly care about other people and see beyond themselves. So Peter says, live in humility. Verse 9, Peter goes on and said, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you would inherit a blessing. Church, another point that Peter makes in this verse is that we need to live to forgive. Everybody say that. Live to forgive. Let the hurt go. Quit returning evil for evil and insult for insult. Stop dwelling on and beating others up for their past. Peter says, do not return this evil for evil. And I know we've all, every one of us in this place, has been hurt by others at some point. But here's what Paul says in Ephesians 4. He says, get rid of all, everybody say all again, seems to be a key word, all of us doing all we need to do. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Church, all of these actions come from unforgiveness. You know why you have bitterness? You know why you have rage? You know why you have anger? You know why you have harsh words? You know why you have slander? You know why you do evil? Because you have unforgiveness in you. So what does Paul tell us to do? Verse 32, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, doing what? Forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So live to forgive. And then live to bless. The last command that Peter gives in this little passage here, verse 9, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate. This is from the New Living. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing. Church, I know that the idea of responding to all the negative that's going on in the world and to do it with positive words and positive action might even seem impossible today. But for us to do it, we first have to submit ourselves to the Lord and his word. And I'm going to tell you a key point here. We must truly believe that God is at work in every situation. Either he is in it or he's not, church. He doesn't come in and out of what the world is going through. Believe that God will bring proper justice, proper vindication to what needs to take place, and he will do it in his timing. Church, when we return evil for evil, it only perpetuates the problem. But when we return a blessing for evil, we stop the poison from going any further. Think about it. Don't miss these words that Peter said. That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing. Church, we're not blessed by winning the fight. We're blessed when we respond the right way that God has told us to, so that relationships can be healthy. Church, we're blessed when we follow the pattern of Jesus rather than the pattern of this world. So how are you going to be a blessing? Well, first, by loving unconditionally. Understand that this is not embracing or condoning the faults and the mistakes of people, but it's loving someone even though there are faults and mistakes in their lives. You can bless people by praying sincerely for people, by encouraging and cheering people on. So church, what have we been called to? Let's look at the list. Live in harmony. So read them with me. Live in harmony. Live sympathetic and compassionate. Live in love. Live in humility. Live to forgive and live to bless. How long is it going to take you to work on that? Verse 10 through 12, Peter backs up his point with Scripture. Even though Peter himself is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this, he qualifies his thought with the authority of the Old Testament Scripture found in Psalm 34, 12 to 16. Why? He wanted to verify to the people he's writing, this is exactly what God wants. So Peter quotes this in his letter, and I'm going to read it from the New Century Version as it's in 1 Peter. But this New Century Version, if you didn't know, is written at a third grade reading level. So if you're looking for Bibles to help people, the New Century Version is written at third grade. Most are written at fifth, sixth, or seventh and eighth grade. So my mom called several years ago and said one of her brothers didn't read well, didn't grow up in all that life real well. Said, what Bible is out there is at an easy reading level? And so, church, here's one. Let me read it to you. 1 Peter 3:10-12, the scripture says, a person must do these things to enjoy life and have many happy days. He must not say evil things, and he must not tell lies. He must stop doing evil and do good. He must look for peace and work for it, and work for it, and work for what? That kind of peace. The Lord sees the good people and listens to their prayers, but the Lord is against those who do evil. Listen, Peter's just trying to be so practical in this passage. There should be no real confusion coming away from today to what he's really telling us to do. We're just summoned to live differently than the world because the Holy Spirit is in us. Pastor James, would you come? We're to live in harmony. Here they are again. I sure don't want to live like the way we played earlier. That was a mess. I'm sure independently it sounded good, but that was the problem. It wasn't family. Live sympathetic and passionate. Go more than just feel. Respond. Live in love. Oh, my goodness. So the sponge has at least been floating here. But even if I lift it, it's still going to pour out. Church, I don't need us to run dry on love. That's why we come to the place. One thing to feel the effects of the family and to feel the effects of the family of God and the love of God so it can pour out of us. Live in humility. Just start considering other people better than you. Live to forgive. Church, a lot of people get stuck here. Don't get stuck. And live to bless. If you took a moment and asked yourself, do you know anybody who lives that way? Do you know anybody that's humble and kind and gracious and deals with others with the grace of God? If you could think of such a person, what do you think of them? For me, boy, that would be admirable. I would admire them. Why? First of all, what I see, but then when I recognize they're living according to God's word. Church, we should strive to want to be that person. And to do so, all you got to do is take heed to the letter that Peter writes and put it into action. We got to get real with ourselves, though, and really decide, are we going to have right relationships? Are you pleasing God with all your relationships? Are you honoring God by the way you treat others? Could I put it this way, church? We need to have Jesus-filled relationships. Boy, that Jesus-filled thing just goes a long ways, doesn't it? Every part of your life, Jesus-filled. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Maybe you've never accepted the love of God by believing in Jesus as your Savior. Today you can do that and ask Him to be your Lord and begin to live according to His Word. If that's you in the place today, I just want to pray with you. If you slip your hand up, say, I want to invite Jesus to be part of my life, or I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Would you just slip your hand up? I'm just looking around. I don't see hands this morning. But Heavenly Father, I pray that our discipleship would be challenged, that we could be people who live in harmony, really learn to get along, and help us have the same mind, for that's your prayer, that we would be one. Holy Spirit, I pray you would help us to be sympathetic and feel with our brothers and sisters, and even with this world. And Lord, help us to know how to respond in compassion. Help us to love like we are to love, and help us be humble. Lord, help us to forgive. You taught us to pray, forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who have transgressed against us. Why? Because you want us to live to bless. So Lord, let our lives hear this today, not just toss it out as a lot of good things, but Lord, to really say, I want to live that way. So help us do so, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So church, I know it's a lot. And there's different ways that I walk through some of this, and that is that I have to listen to the Holy Spirit, because when I look at the whole list, I'm overwhelmed. The Holy Spirit, where are you speaking today? What's just one of them that you're challenged in, and work on that one. Let the Holy Spirit work on that, because that's what the Holy Spirit is stirring. He may be stirring all, but which one is he stirring more? And then work at it. Work at it. Because church, the only way it's going to happen is that you work at it. I think Peter had a lot of work. I haven't really talked a lot about Peter yet. I think it's coming. But to understand where he came from to be able to write what he's writing that day, the Holy Spirit's done a lot of work in him. Because remember, I told him and Peter and Paul didn't get along. But now he's saying, you know what? I understand we've got to be in harmony. And I know how we're going to do it. We're going to bring our disagreements together. We're going to sit down at the table. We're going to work through it. Because God's word is before us. Amen? Amen. Well, I love you, and the Lord bless you. I'm excited about where we're going and what God's doing in his church in your life. Amen? And we're going to let it keep happening. Amen? Amen. Lord, go with us, strengthen our hearts, and may you cause us to reflect you so well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled week.